Rabbi, I'm not giving you a chumash tonight. I want to talk about another topic. I really feel, and I don't say this lightly, I really feel as a community, as a tzibur, we're currently under attack. And I feel we're under attack in a very serious way. And I don't think it's the beginning of the attack. And we don't fully appreciate the long-term effects this is going to have. Unless something's done. You know, when Haskalah came to Europe in the mid-late 19th century, it came incremental. It didn't happen right away. The early Maskilim went with long beards, and I'm sure they had payas also, and they were Talmid Chacham also. But it was an insidiousness, it was a toxicity that became stronger and stronger and stronger until eventually, anyone that studies that period, it led to the hemorrhaging of thousands and thousands. I'm talking besides what occurred in Western Europe even later, but even in the bastions of Torah in Eastern Europe, it slowly drip infiltrated until before the Second World War, there wasn't a mishpacha she'ein bei meis kamat. There hasn't been a family that wasn't tainted by a scholar. And it was a communal challenge. You know, in the last 20 years, let's say, here in America, so there's been a lot of talk about the shyness of the digital world. A lot of talk and the threat that it presents to our community, our way of life. And it's a problem. I mean, there isn't a sector in society today, even the Musa'ilim I'm asking, even for them, that this it's a terrible problem on so many levels. But what occurred in 2000, I mean, started already 2006, 2007, the Ilim got together. There was in 2012, thousands of people got together. Didn't really have a solution, but the Ilim got together that we have a serious problem on our hands. That the frum world was under attack. Under attack from the ease, the excess, the of the digital world. And there were different mahalchim how to deal with it. I'm not getting into that. But there was a problem. And when there's a problem, the tzibah gets together and we cry out to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we're under attack. We have to do something about it. Things were done, Baruch Hashem, different organizations. Baruch Hashem, today there are thousands, tens of thousands of youngsters that won't have, that push off, let's put it like this, push off having online access as much as possible. And even then, with Shmir and this, it's a beautiful accomplishment. It's one of the greatest accomplishments of our communities. That the Ummah Sa'il look to us with a jealousy that's unprecedented. Deep down, they looked at us with a tremendous jealousy. That we're able to stay away. Is it perfect? No. But we're able to look, we declared it a monster, and we're trying to keep it, you know, as much as possible away from us. But the community reacted because they realized that there's a threat. Rabbi, I believe in the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, we're under a different type of attack, and that is the tsunami, the wave of materialism that's sweeping the firm community of the last couple of years. And this tsunami, this wave, in terms of our simchas, standards of what's considered a simcha, what's a necessity, what's the new normal, in terms of the opulence, the millions of dollars that goes into simcha halls, new simcha halls, millions of dollars, the simchas itself, the amount of money, the terms of the homes. Now it's true, out of town perhaps didn't get here yet, but don't worry, a wave, a tsunami, the people that are living on the beach, so they get the first wall of water, the waves 30 feet high, but it goes inroad very fast. So it's something perhaps that was launched on the coastals, on the coast of the United States, east and west. But it's slowly coming into the hinterland also. It's only a matter of time. And this tsunami, we're talking about simchas, we're talking about children. What children are demanding of parents. It's normal for them to demand certain basic necessities of life. But that has been, as the years go by, just listening to parents, what children need. You can't go to camp today without being uniformed in the right sweatshirts or the right dress or the right type of clothing with the brand label, with the label, whatever it is. And if it doesn't have, if you smudged out the label, the whole beged is batel uvutel. It has absolutely no function because it's not about the heat or the cold. It's about the brand label. But I just spoke to somebody yesterday. He tells me he was by a vort. In a community where they came into the vort with a meat board. I'm sure everyone by now is familiar with it. But this meat board, this is a serious person that told this to me. He said that the person who the vort was a fine mensch, erlich person, a good person. He's not a person that lives with full luxury. But he had a friend that was a wealthy person. The friend wanted to be with Sameachim, so he came into the vort. He brought in, it needed two people to carry. The meat board was literally like two-thirds of an average dining room table. And the thickness of the meat board, it was literally, I think the guy told me, 5 or 6 inches thick, the board itself. And we're talking about the amount of meat that was on this thing. They had to clear out the whole table. Two guys walked in with a meat board. Everyone smiled, everyone laughed, and everyone ate. Lanier's dainty, it's a joke. It's not a joke. Because this is, again, it's just indicative of, if imagine a person came in with a skunk-smelling beged, a foul odor. You know, everyone's like, excuse me, I know you're, no, but it looks such a beautiful picture here. It'll be Msamer, the vort. He says, it's very nice, but can you please take this out, let the vort go on? The idea that no one said anything, to me, is indicative because no one perceived it as a foul odor entering the vort. And I want to explain why it's a foul odor. What do you say this? And again, we could go on and on. I don't think you need me to explain what the wave of materialism that's afflicting every segment and every area of our tzibur's life. There's a reason for the problem. A big part of it has to do with media. That means, do you know, you don't realize how lucky you are to live in Detroit. Do you know that it's hand-delivered to every house on the centers in the East Coast, a publication, two of them, in plastic, so you shouldn't get hit by the rain. You open up those publications. Every single page is pushing the envelope in the most serious way. Every single page is, did you have yet your teeth white. Your full head up here. And they have it now, all with a frum cheshbon. Talk about different treatments, the pusher shabumis, body beautification, and every single page. And every kid reads these publications. All the frum sites. What are they pushing? What are they pushing? And it's conspicuous. And every page of these publications, don't trust me, go look at them. Every single one of them is novel b'shusatei aratachlis, and there's not one page of these publications that are being meraimim the ideal of somebody that has self control, the ideal that everything that was chashiv to us. What's a talmud chacham? A person that's not indulging, and every publication is the polar opposite. We're under attack, rabbis say. They're pushing the physicality in the most hedonistic way, because I believe that the danger of this, and I don't say this lightly, I believe we're in the beginning of a threat. It could be it's almost as serious as a threat as technology, long term. And I'm going to explain why. I believe there's four levels to this desire. And I want to go through each one of the levels. Level number one, very basic. This wave, this our ease of not saying no to our children, not saying no to ourselves, in terms of turning luxury into necessity, this transformative switch where everyone has to have this and everyone has to have that and everyone has to have the other, I believe just on a pashta level, it's putting a tremendous financial burden on families. Simple. I mean, without loy kach over loy srak. Everything, we're a community that pays tuition. We don't have benefit from the public school system. And every single person paying tuition is going to get olam haba ad moed. But we know if we won't pay tuition, we're going to be like the umas olam. Benoist up to that extra expense. And benoist up to what everyone, the whole America is struggling for financial burden. we've introduced to our community new needs, that these new needs are putting a tremendous financial pressure on from a Yidden. I mean, look at Chazal. Chos HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Mimoinim Shal Yisrael. Look how Chazal, replete all over, to save Yidden of expense is of utmost seriousness. You know, they said it to Ritzik Ochonon when the Radzina came out with the Tchelis, so the Ritzik Ochonon fought against it. No, it's not the right Tchelis. So somebody asked Ritzik Ochonon, what is it? So he wrote a whole dissertation, whatever it was, but he told somebody else, that's not, maybe it is the Tchelis. He says, you know why I'm fighting against it? Because I'll tell you my real reason. Let's say it is the Tchelis. So now we're going to have a new consumer must. A new must of the firm community. Everyone has to have trades. Each vial, $300-$400 or ruble, whatever it costs. So we're just slapping. Oh, it's the chafrum kite. It's trailers. So we're just slapping now on every firm family with seven boys. We're talking about now seven pairs of trailers, and sitters get run out every 2-3 years. So you're looking about, forget about the Borsellinos. I mean, or whatever people wear today. So you're talking about, your chumrah of trailers has just now put a financial burden on thousands of mishpachas. For to go chonon, it was kedai to fight it other chumrah. It's a chumra, even if they're right. It's not a milsa de chiyuva, and it's a suffix. For this, Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moinu Shul Yisrael. That's a bitzchuk small. By bitzchuk chonon, does a yiddishkeit. To save a yid money, it's going to go a war against a chumra. We've lost all our sense of that idea. Look, you take out a sefer Torah, the halacha is you have to be careful when you roll the sefer, tircha de tzibura, tircha de tzibura. How much does it cost to wait a minute? Doesn't cost anything. But when you deal with a tzibur, you make a tzibur wait a few minutes. We take that very serious. How many halachas are chayim to the tzibur? The inroad of this materialistic bend is causing a tremendous burden. You know, and there's a reason for it. It's not entirely negative. In other words, by the Ummah Sa'ilam, wealthy people live in gated communities, right? Not wealthy people live in ungated communities. And then you go deeper into the urban environment. You know, there's no such thing that, you know, Bill Gates and then a poor guy and another guy, that doesn't, every strata of society lives in their own area. In our world, it's not like that. And Lamaisa Klaiso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his tremendous chesed and racham, and for the Sheiris HaPleita, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, I could count on my hand, over 10 from Erlich billionaires. We're talking about the amount of money that's in Klaiso, Yechid, it's not the majority. Where did they go? Don't go to different mikvahs. There's no special mikvah. By the goyim, it's like they go to a different gym. But by us, you go to the same shtibel mikvah. I don't care if you're a billionaire or not. You're going to the same mikvah, and you're attending the same shir, and you go to the same shuls, and you're sent to the same schools. So we have a very interesting situation where there's the billionaires and the nowheres are all mingling together. So after a while, it gets to people. So the billionaire has a right to live like a gvir. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. But then the kid comes home, but my friend is going to midwinter vacation to Florida. That's already a joke. We're talking about Switzerland, and this guy, a guy told me that he got a text of a picture. And what was the picture? And all type of emojis. The guy who sent the picture was the spoiled mamsh. So he looks at the picture. So what was the picture? It was a picture of frum, visible frum people, looking people, all sitting in a restaurant and eating. So he sends it back. He says, okay, that's good, okay. People want to go to a restaurant, nishkosh, okay. Okay, so it's packed with frum yidden. Okay, not bad, but why all those emojis? So he writes back, no, the restaurant's in Bermuda. It's in Bermuda, the restaurant. Where does it come from? It starts with Florida, then it's Switzerland, and then it's the mountains. For states of Eretz Yisrael, for states of that's the Shem Mitzvah, is putting off a tremendous financial burden. There was a chashev speaker in a public forum. The way he phrased it, and this is an elch person, he said that we're abusing the next generation. By us not saying no, by us not making boundaries, we're bequeathing a behemoth to the next generation. It's unsustainable. And it's all true. Mm-hmm. And this is all on a very basic level. What happens when people are facing crushing financial burdens? Sometimes you have to do illicit activity to keep up. And there's a direct correlation between this and people that are involved in shady business practices because, well, it's not sustainable. You got to at least afford going to Florida. Forget about Bermuda. We'll leave that to the, you know, to other people. We're not there. But at least Florida. At least my kid goes to camp. He shouldn't come in tatters or whatever it is. So it's another ripple effect. Rabbi said all this is level one. level two of this wave of materialism that has infiltrated our communities. And I'm not giving mussa. I'm just observing that we are not reacting to it. It's like when the scholar started, it was trickle. You can't, when the scholar started, so the girls started reading novels in Russian. No. The novels of them weren't the novels of today. There was probably nothing wrong in it. But Lamaisa, they weren't reading from books. Okay, don't be a frumi. Don't come out against it. But slowly you start reading novels, and then it goes further and further and further until eventually it came a massive that people, the youth, were running off to university. And we hemorrhaged because we didn't stop it right away. So this is all. But there's another impact from this idea that we're allowing this to happen. And again, no one reacted with revulsion and disgust when that meat board came in. I'm talking about Meiser from last week, by the way. This is last week in a prominent Torah community. There's a second thing. Let's forget about mumness. Let's forget about Issa Gneva and Gzela that this mice caused. Let's talk about mental health. Society is under attack. We're a weak generation as it is. That a frum couple makes a simcha that he has to have an anxiety, deep anxiety. How am I paying for it? That when the children are coming of marriageable age, they push it, break down in cold sweat. How could I afford it? When every time a simcha, when people have to send the kids to seminary, when people have to make life choices about supporting children, it's invoking a trend. It's affecting the well-being. Mental health is a very serious thing. When a person's not been menuchas nefesh, you can't serve Hashem properly. You can't bring up your kids properly. If you're tattered emotionally, if you feel under pressure, quote unquote, you can't function. To have a healthy family, you have to be ebullient. You have to be besimcha. You have to have a sense of calm and peace. And this financial beyond the money is affecting us. It's affecting us in a tremendous way. The pressures when parents are more harried, it trickles down to the kids. There's no question about it. It mamish affects us. When you live a life of pashtus, of simplicity, it's a much healthier place to be. You know the reality is that there are people who want to be home for Purim. Why? Because like everything else, especially the wave of materialism, you have to realize the intensity here. It's not a wave of a materialism. We're talking about it's all coded with frumkeit, coded with Jewishness. This is something very important. So, Shmushloach Manas has to be a theme. It used to start off a nice joke. I'm all for a nice Shloach Manas. It's a beautiful thing. But as it's getting up and up and up, it's becoming such a pressure, people are literally going away for Purim. Because they can't take the tension, the anxiety of going to all their abeyments with this high level. That's just one example. You're talking about a woman has a baby. So the minute it used to be for thousands of years in Klal Yisrael, the neighbors give meals, right? That's the Noshim Tzidkanis. This is what they did. You give a half fresh meal. It's becoming a matzah in certain circles. You can't give a pasha to chicken and rice or whatever is given today. So it has to be whatever you saw in the latest, it became a whole thing, food. And memela, people are pushing, how am I going to make a meal to my neighbor? Thus pass, that I should give a simple baked chicken or whatever with some seasoning? It has to be the least. I know that I'm looking at it because we're out of town, so it's not that, But this is what's happening, that people are pushing. It's become, this is a result. Who wants to live with tension and anxiety? So the simple neighborly things and the vorts. So the mental health, simple as that. We're putting an emotional pressure on people. How long could the virus sustain this? How long could it be that every time a person makes a simcha, he feels desperate? And that's not sustainable. Not only is it not sustainable, it has a ripple effect. Don't think it doesn't have effect on the mishpocha and everything else. So this is all level number two. Level number three, to address the insidiousness, the toxicity of the wave of materialism that's affecting the frum community, is good old-fashioned frumkeit, quote-unquote. Let's push it review. Push it basic Torah literature. You open up any Musa Sefer, open up Mashloach HaKadosh, open up a Peleyoyetz, open up Sifrei Chofetz Chaim, how they talk about the genus of Moisris. This used to be in a Jewish ideal. Open up any Musa Sefer, Shevet Musa. Moisris is not a Jewish thing. Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Shabbos Kuf Mem Amud Beis. Somebody that's able to eat sari, he's comfortable eating things made out of barley. And he decides, no, I'm going to take chitim. So the Gemara says, Eva Baltashas. So, because he's wasting money and he's wasting. So the Gemara says, no, but what about good? Baltashas, but Baltashas are good. If it could be chiti, Islam makes it better for the digestive system. Don't go so hard on him. But the Peleoyet says, Mikan Chazinan, this is an Erech Sipuk, that's the chapter of the Peleoyet. He says, Mikan, the Misha kind of dvarn shayne tzorich lamari oiva baltashas. So let's go simple from kai. No ideological, no mental health, no financial burdens. Good old fashioned from kai. What happened to baltashas? You know, I mean, that's pushing a Jewish perspective. What you buy, what you don't need, it's called baltashas. As I does. Today, we don't live with that, but that's a Torah ideal. You don't just waste money. You don't spend. And then you look at the Goyin and Evan Shlema. The Goyin in Evan Shlema in Per Gimel, Lois Gimel, he talks about chemda. He says that chemda, the desire for more affluence, more wealth, more expensive items. He talks about it in a way, he says it's mamish, chemda. He talks about all derogatory things comes from chemda because it brings out the bad part of the human side. This is obvious, the Rav Nosson Peik, the Zayin Aloch Aleph, that a person has many, a lot of wealth and a lot of ostentatious and flashy wealth, it causes ayin hara, it's matzinas adam in ha'olam. I don't want to go through all the marmakayim, Chavetz Chaim, Shem Olam, Chelek Aleph, Shach Hazok Zater, Peg Yud Gimel, and Haggah. Chavetz Chaim goes on and on. I mean, we all know the story of the Chavetz Chaim. When the reporter from the United States, he heard about the Chavetz Chaim, he came to his house in Radin, and he looked at the so-called, the simplicity that the Chavetz Chaim lived. So he told him, how are you living like this? He says, where's your furniture? So everyone knows the story. We grew up with the story. So what did the Chavetz Chaim tell him? Chavetz Chaim says, where's your furniture? He says, what do you mean? I'm transient. I'm a visitor. I don't take along my furniture. Chavetz Chaim told him, I'm also a visitor. I'm also transient. In other words, and this is throughout the Chavetz Chaim Svarim, the more things that you don't need, it's indicative that you think that this is an end goal. If you view your life as a trajectory for Olam Haba, so why are you acquiring things that have absolutely no need? Are you going to tell me that the original Rebbe had six white horses, and the original, which is true, by the way, and he acted like nobility, and the original Rebbe, I've seen pictures of his palace, palatial, with gardens that were kept up, gorgeous, the original how his lifestyle. But there was a pshat. If you ever read any Rishonim Svarim, Klal Yisrael at that tkufa in history was Beshvala Madrega, they were downtrodden. This is the period right after the Cantonistin and right after the pogroms and everything. And Yidden were a dove buzzy, all the edicts against them. People were very, very downtrodden, very hard on themselves. The Rishonim was Kulei L'Shem Shamayim. He felt, by showing that with B'nai Malachim, he felt it'll build people up. You know, it'll build Yidden up. And the Rishna, he held that by having Yidden shall look up, that we have our nobility. We have nobility, you know, with they live in palaces, with grass, with six. He felt it lifted the morale of Yidden. It was Kulei L'Shem Shamayim. When the Rishna Rebbe was Nifta, with the golden boots, excuse me, silver boots, when the Rishna Rebbe was Nifta, he raised up his 10 hands. And it says, "Hinini made Shemayim va'aretz shalaynen nesi ma'ulam azeh afilu be'etzbak tana." He says, "I had no personal benefit from ulam azeh." He replicated Rabbeinu Hakadosh's words that he said before his patir. The original wasn't a shakran. He meant to say, "Ah, he had white horses. Ah, he had all this opulence. It was kulei l'shem gevayah." That's what society needed at the time. And all the statements, well, the Gewaldige, B'nai Malach, there were periods when Yidden had to be lifted up. To be a Jew was a persecuted thing. You were downtrodden. That's not the case in America today. Everyone wants a Jewish lawyer. No one's downtrodden. You know, to be a Yid is absolutely, with all the anti-Semitism, ganz mechubed to be a Yid. As a Yid does. We don't need this opulence. I don't buy it for a second. That there's an element of L'Shem Shemayim in that meat board, that maybe I'm like Paschim al Shechon and I'm mimicking Rabbeinu HaKadosh. To even bring that up in a public forum, as if there's a ruchnistic value in our communities having opulence, that's a chmir is carved to Megalopon and B'ter Shalekaloch. Now, I'm not passing judgment. Again, I'm not saying everyone's on the dagger to be a parish like the Chavetz Chaim. I'm not saying every frumkeit, there's a spectrum. Certain people like nice things. It's a Terech B'nei Adam. Listen, Rabbi Yankov used to say, if a person, Hashem gave a person money, you're not going to live like that. Rabbi Yankov used to say that. You don't have to live like a pauper. Doesn't say to win the Terech. You're allowed to have a nice, that's not my point. I'm just saying to turn it into Epskilu, it's an ideal opulence. It's just not, that's not the Derech Yisrael Saba. That's not, anyway. But Rabbi Yisrael, I want to now go to level four. And I think this is so important and so negar l'maizeh. And this is why I say I feel it's something insidious that we're not even aware of what's happening in our communities. I want to go back in history a little to what's referred to as Rav Aaron Kotler's revolution. What is Rav Aaron Kotler's revolution? What was Rav Aaron Kotler's revolution? So if you ask your average person, Liman HaTorah, which is true, Koil, which is true, shouldn't go to work, that was Rav Aaron's revolution, that's Sheker. That's Mama Sheker. I don't believe that was Rav Aaron's revolution. But, so what was Rav Aaron's Chiddush? Other people could have such a Chiddush. What was Rav Aaron? So, you could say something, I could tell you, we could all pontificate, right? Let's hear it from Rav Aaron himself. So the famous machod that Rav Aaron gave in the Pike Street Shul, when there was a certain person that insulted the Buskarov. He insulted the Buskarov. Rav Aaron was so upset that he felt it was worthy of a rally. This is, we're talking about, what year was this? In the 1950s. Now, the rally, we're talking about the sum total of the Torah community. At that time, the East Side was the hub of Frum life, Pike Street Shul, and they all came to Pike Street Shul, and Rav Aaron spoke. I spoke to Bachram that we did, and it transformed it. This was a seminal speech. Rav Aaron spoke about this topic a lot, but this is one of his seminal speeches. So it's printed word for word. The Gemara says that Amvazatam Chacham is Eilochet Lolam Haba. And he mentioned the following Ben Yonah. He says Amvazatam Chacham is Eilochet Lolam Haba. Why? So the Ben Yonah in Shar Tshuva Shar Gimel Simen Kuf Mem Zayin. He says because Kovid HaTorah is central to the continuity of Klal Yisrael. Why? Zokter, he says, who are we? He said, we are who we respect. Whoever we give praise to, that defines where you're going. Hollywood, the movie industry. You know, in the Ummah Olam, movies are the raisa, but that's who they respect. And the medley, when you want to get a president elected, so you line up all these celebrities, that's how it works by the Ummah Olam. The Ben Yonah says that respect is what governs a society. More of the Ben Yonah, you have to see his lashon. What's covered? It's supposed to be berechman of covered. Why is there such a doggish and es hashem alakachatira l'rabbis tamidacham t'mechavet tamidacham? Reb Yonah says because who you respect, that's who you want a role model. And that's what Dvar of Nishmoyim, when they're going to give you Musa, the Yilva Aleim Ma'am Kulay, the Yid Mula Ma'at Seisam, you're going to listen to their counsel. He says, V'veroyz B'nei Adam is Kol Kvaydam Al Tivin Acham, Yilamdu Lekach, Linchol Kovid, V'tir Bedas, on and on. The Rebbeinu Yonah goes. So Meili says, I'm a Vazat Hamchach, why is it Linchol Mahabah? So he denied him his Kovid. Because you know, an attitude of disrespecting Tamchach, you know what it is? It's not just a violation in a vacuum. If Tamid Acham are not held up on the pedestal of the public conversation, what happens is, eventually, Tamchachim disrespectful. So everything that Tamchachim stands for, we're going to disrespect. Ultimately, you're going to disrespect everything. What was the first target of the Maskilu? Tamid Acham. Because once you could lower down Tamid Achamim, so then no one wants to be like Tamid Achamim. So their messages are not important. And eventually the whole Teres Moshe. That's why by us, covered Tamachachim. So the Biskarov felt, excuse me, Rav Aaron said, Tvashem Bozo. You have to see Koyed Mamish, because he was on fire. The Umvazi, the Biskarov, it's worthy of a rally. You have to see the whole thing, because this individual disagreed with the Biskarov, who's a Frum Yid, he disagreed, okay? But he likes to said something very sharp and disrespectful. He said, to get away without saying this can't happen. You don't say disrespect in a public forum on a Talmud Chacham. Because if you're going to allow that to happen, Talmud Chacham are not respected, and the end, you lose the whole Yiddish. Okay, you could look at the whole shoes. He says, Rabbi, gathered together, and we gathered here in a kinnis for Kavod HaTorah. He says on the pasuk of Dva Hashem Boza, the Kalam Avaza Tamchachim is Dva Hashem Boza. He says there's another pshat, and he says that Dva Hashem Mishalei Efshalei Lasik Piteir Veini Oisik. Oy, shekar v'shana opirish lahavla oylam v'nich tamudei v'zonchoy. That means, you forget about being vazitim l'cham, but the reason why you don't learn is not because of your attention span, it's not because you have to make a panasa, but the reason why v'nich tamudei v'zonchoy, you left it. That's a nishchosh of learning. So up the Rambam, in Per Gimel Nos Tam Terah, reza b'chlau boizet d'var Hashem, we're not talking about Torah. That means you don't respect l'marat Torah. It's not a value in our life. If that's why you're not learning, a collective value, it's this Dvar Hashem Baza. So Medley says like this, we're all sitting here, we're gathered here, b'bezoyin anasa klapi goyin d'reinu b'skirov. He says, aleinu l'izboininu l'sham n'shaloi nikshol chas v'sholem here in America, in another form of Dvar Hashem Baza. And he says, I want to say Dvorm for Roshim, Uydis Amachshela Neiro, the greatest stumbling block that Rabban felt to the continuity of Yiddishkeit in America. And what is that? He says, Negisas Machzis Hayoyim Lelimura College. He says, the idea that people go to college in the afternoon, which was widely practiced among all the yeshivas, 5 o'clock you went to college. He says, Ma'oid, Ma'oid, Yesh Lachshash Me'inyan Neirizeh. Why? Why? So first of all, he starts off, he says, first of all, we need more people learning. He says, if people are not going to learn, he says, you need Tamid Chacham, you can't have it by 5 o'clock, you know, closing the lights. But Mevadzois, and this is where the neshama of Rabban, and such a misunderstanding, people think Rabban was against college. Everyone knows that Rabban fought college. And it wasn't, he was a lone voice in the wilderness. There were chashiv yeshivas that had college in the afternoon. What's the shlach with college? I just read a letter from the Stipler to A.J. Twersky. I was just reviewing a letter. The Stipler writes, he says, if what's wrong with him? He says, the Mishnah says in Kedushim, Malam the umnis. It's a Mishnah, it's a chayv on appearance. If the way to get an umnis by getting a degree, so you get a degree. What's Rabban talking about? What's wrong with going to college? Mechshela ha-neiro? You go to college. As long as they're not teaching kfira and there's no, you know, Ebenezer issues or whatever it is. So you get a job. There's always in college, so doctors and lawyers. Well, what's the problem? So up there, Baran, and this is the Neshomini, he says, Eino Inyan, he says, what he sees by the oila, my son the doctor, my son the lawyer. That was the mantra of the 40s and the 50s. That means, so up there, Baran, it has nothing to do with chippush drachim l'tzarche panasa. If the reason why the Olim was going to college was simply because they needed a vocation, Rabban said, I wouldn't fight it. He says, the Harbin said, that's not the reason why everyone was going to college in the 40s in the Frum community. He said, Yesh Harbin drachim v'fanam acherim yesh l'kach. He says, Asiba amites oimedes machurizeh shemachakim es agoyim es umas oilom. He says that elu those shiragleim lo'omdo al ar Sinai, and they don't have the Torah, be'neyem ishtamlu sa'odom. What's considered a cultured person? What's an Adam Asholim? Is belimud askola gevoya hi ashlamasa v'tarbusai? You're not some tish if you don't have a degree. That means nothing to do with panasa. You're not an enlightened person if you don't have panasa. If you don't have a college degree. That means like this. The Kuzari says there's doimim, tzameh, chai, medaber. So it was almost as if there was regular medaber and there's a medaber with a college degree. It was a fifth dimension. And we don't really appreciate it. We do appreciate it a little. But that's how it was. If you weren't educated, you could do it. You could major in political science, whatever that is. I've still yet to figure out what that is. But whatever it is, if you major in political science, you are ish mechubit. And the truth was, that's how it was. So after Rabban, he says, Beinayim, this culture, he says, the Chassam Sofer and Sosalanta were like in Bechase, that the Chassam Sofer and the Chassam Sosalanta didn't have a degree. They were imperfect people. He says, Kli Amida Yochet Shebiyodam, these people, the only Kli Mida, the way we estimate and value somebody, is Ramasa Haskola, how much higher education you have. Ubeinayim Zekola Adam. He says, Anu lahavdul, and you have to hear a Baron screaming. He says, lahavdul elef avdolis. He says, like, tehei, toyer, shleim, shalonu, kisicha, betelu, shalahem. He He says, that the malachim was chanin al kablo. The malachim wanted Torah. He says, Torah shenol medes al de klal Yisrael mois Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, v'af lufnim the avos will learn the Torah. Torah is aruchem eretz midah rechavim in a yam. He says, Torah shenol nesafim lekavid gedaleh. Torah zukvoida. He says, that's what's not smiach v'gadol kabenz gadol melech chachamim. He says that and that what. That somebody is because he didn't go to college and he could be a yedeh safe and he gets less respect and he's less civilized and he's less cultured. That's the ultimate dvar Hashem boz. That's mamish dvar Hashem boz. Even vaza tam chokhmas dvar Hashem boz, it is 50 times worse. The idea that we're so salanta. My father once told me that somebody told their baron, they were talking about, I don't want to mention the name of the institution, but they said that you could only get smicha if you also have a degree. So baron says, dos heist. So my father was there. They told Rabbi about a certain institution that instituted, you can't get a smicha and that thing unless you have a degree. So he says, Oibazoi? He says, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, but if some safe of all, you can't carry a smicha. If that's the case, in other words, what are we doing here? So he writes, HaTorah Chigere Sak. He says, Torah is wearing sackcloth. Shez Nachua Va'oiskin Bechikui Darkei HaGoyim. That was Rabbi Aaron. It's such an incredible Torah. What Rabbi Aaron was, what's the most Choshev Azach? There was a tkufa where really people thought people sitting on a bench warmer. You go to college, you're not a bench warmer? No. Because why you're not a bench warmer? It's not you can make more money, it's nothing to do with money. But I'm getting a degree. So I'm a Ishmin Ashur. That is kfira mamish. It's worse than kfira. Much worse than kfira. Because kfira is kfira. But kavod means where is the ummah going? If Talmud Chacham was always the central figure in Klal Yisrael, Elohim Mitorah, that's where we respect. Not everyone has to be aligned with Torah. But if that's where our respect is, Torah is the best of Torah. That's how mothers sang their children to sleep. Torah is the best of Torah, not a degree. That was Rabbi Aaron's Marocha. He says this amaratzis of this redifa to go to college is Eina Yedeh Lahar HaTorah Ke'erka. Onanim Donim Kol Askel Aseinu B'College. College is the defining factor who gets respect. He says this nega was an especial toich ole toire that they closed the lights at 5 o'clock. Ukehilu lehepech has been toire l'odim shalom, quote unquote. He writes kavyachu chas for shalom. Dosi the dvar Hashem bozad. He says we're all talking about this guy that's mavazah b'skarab. He says we're guilty of dvar Hashem bozad. Now no one saw what Rabbi Aaron saw. The other yeshivas on Coney Island, on East Broadway, but that they did allow college. They didn't. They also agreed, but they didn't see it that way. They saw it. You're Tatpana, so you go to college. Big deal. Rabbi Aaron, it was almost a divine, you know, he sensed that what's happening is that they're closing yeshivas to go to college for that political science or whatever it may be. The pshat is that Torah is not the most choshev azach. No, this was just a review of the 40s. So we all say Rabbi Aaron succeeded, and he did. The idea that we have a frum community, that we respect Talmid Chacham, that was Rabbi Aaron's victory. Rabbi say, and I don't say this lightly, it's becoming a matzav that wealth is becoming the new respect. This is my heart. This is what I sense is happening. If you're not wealthy, and if you don't go on all the vacations, and you don't have all the strappings, there's almost a lack of shivas. There's a new concept that infiltrated our camp. It's called Torah Gedula. Excuse me. When Gvirim are starting to run the agenda, and Asir Mashas has to be with flowers, with opulence, with singers on a scale. We're turning that Torah and opulence go hand in hand. That means if you make a Siyam, a Pasha to Siyam today, it's almost like you're not Min Ayishu. It's almost this infiltration of wealth. Torah Gdula. I mean, think about it for a moment. At Baruch Hashem, I think here in Detroit, where it didn't happen yet. I think on a collective scale, but I've been in communities where I'm telling you this is the case. I poll people. I say, who do you kids know more about? Do you know about Eliyahu Levine? I'm talking about like the stars of Lakewood, of Bismarck, people that have not removed the eyes from the Gemara. About Rabbi Yehuda Levenberg? About Moshe Rosenbaum? I mean, these are people literally, about Taplin, Rabbi Taplin, about, you could name them. These are people that like Mosh, Metech, Oil, literally. Your kids know those names? Or your kids knows, I don't want to say the names, I don't know. You could all fill it in. The people that run the agenda, you could all, the names of the super gvirim that exist in the community. How many parents have told me, you're 100% right, my kids know more than names of the gvirim? How does that happen? There's a fawning respect for Gvir. I have nothing against Gvirim. They'll have a lot of Olam Haba. Klal Yisrael needs Gvirim. But when Gvirim start to take center place, akin to a Talmud Chacham, I'm telling you, it's Dvar Buz, Dvar Hashem Buz of the highest level. And I'm telling you, this is you don't know where this is going to go. Because anything, what happened was Rabban won, but now the Yetzirah is Olam Avos B'chalaneinu. My grandmother, together with Irving Bunim and other Balabatim, Rabban lived in Borough Park. He didn't live in Lakewood. He'd come for Shabbosim. He had tattered furniture. And Bunim, Rabban had to go away. So Bunim, and my grandmother was involved. They ordered beautiful furniture for Rabban. And they put it in his house. Rabban came home and he saw it. He said he's not walking into his house until they removed the furniture. He refused to walk in. And now we're talking about pink flowers. So now it's not college. But now millionaires became the new thing. It's almost as if the Yetzirah, you know, we're so busy celebrating our success, but you don't realize the Olam Avos B'chalaneinu, you lock the front door and it comes to the other thing. Since when the Gvir, that there are institutions where the Gvir is the Deya, where Rabbeim Tzitter from a Gvir, that's Heres HaTorah, that's what should happen. In Klal Yisrael, such a phenomenon. Incredible. You know what that is? The idea that who gets the chshivas? This culture that everything has to be accompanied with incredible wealth. This chshivas to wealth. And I'm telling you, people are not stupid. People think to themselves, what do I have to mutra and everything else? Let me be a gvir, and I'll have all the chshivas come lepisvi, and I'll have the kavod ha'Torah also. And the idea that an institution that it's Israel, that used to be the semel of emes, that to get in, wealth plays a factor, his zaydis are turning over in his grave. That's how you get into such an institution. And the Bochum know it. They know the system's rigged. It has nothing to do with merit. They know. So you're mechabed geld. It's a shreklach hazach. And meatballs and malach, we have to call a spade a spade. I don't know the solution. But one thing I do know, I smell a current. And the idea of giving respect to an usher more than a Talmud Chacham, I'm telling you, the next generation is going to say loy beina. It's a terrible thing. You want to talk about give drushes? How about Vered Shal Shemen and whatever existed in the Rishina and Rebbe and all the Maamar claims you have from Chazal that there were chashva wealthy people, but the COVID was to the Talmud Chacham. What's happening now is not Bnei Yisrael Malachim. It's the COVID is going over to the wealthy. I'm not saying this is all over, but the idea that if you don't have a way with the wealth and it's not part of your thing, then it's almost you're not in the public thing. And Haraya, the forums are becoming more and more, that's who it's being run by. And that's what's being addressed. The Dvash, Rabban's Marocha and college had nothing to do, it had to do with the fact that we give respect to somebody with a degree more than a Talmud Chacham. That was the Dvash and Buzzer. Lani is Daiti. If there's respect to money more than a Talmud Chacham, if a Gvir, I don't want to say names, gets more respect than when Yehuda Levenberg, Zolazan Gesund walks in, so to Vissen, that's the downfall of Torah. I say this. You know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Reb Chaim Kanievsky was the epitome. You know, when Paul Reichman walked to Reb Chaim Kanievsky the first time, and he said, who are you? My name is Reichman. So Reb Chaim says, oh, you're related to Reichman from the Bronx who gave out the Ramban Zachulin? That was Reb Chaim Kanievsky's family. Excuse me, you know, we're talking Olympia in New York here, $18 billion. No, he's rather a Choshev Yid. I'm just saying Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the reason why, that was covered at Torah. To him, the frame of reference was the Ramban Zechulin. That was the whole sugya. But what happened now? Look how the Gvir, this whole culture infiltrated, that they're selling his Ksav Yad for millions of dollars. Somebody told me on Mindset that one Gvir gave to the other, he bought for a couple of million dollars with Chaim's challah board. So the guy gave him back a gift of Chaim's yarmulke for another couple of million dollars. You know, this whole, are you crazy? Out of your mind? So we've turned, this is the ultimate, Michael Zang, this is just like the jerseys of a good football player. That's how I look at it. Because what's a football player? It's a collector's item. So so now, there's auction houses. What are they auctioning? Halvaida would auction, the jerseys of football players. Because then you know it's football, so that's Yiddish guy. Since when is throwing around wealth, and everyone's talking about these things, is that my Yiddish? You go to any Frum website, that's all they talk about, right? That's front and center. Had an auction off every one of Reb Chaim's things. What are you doing? You're promoting wealth. This is what Reb Chaim wanted. Reb Chaim's whole life was no chshivas. Reb Chaim couldn't take Bali Gaiva. Not that every Gevir is about Gaiva, and there's a big place. Rabbi, this is not an anti-Gevir rant. I'm all for Gevir. I would love to be a Gevir. If I could be a Gevir, I'm serious. You don't know what you could do. You could do Gimar B'Kovet Shemayim. A Gevir, it's a gift from Hashem. That's not my point. My point is, but where's the fawning respect? It's all about money. And I'm telling you, it's a nish poshet. It's a nish. You think I'm being an alarmist? I'm not. I believe this warrants a city field. I believe this is a problem confronting us on all four levels. We should have a city field. This is very dangerous times. I don't know what the solution is. I have some ideas, but I believe this is a critical problem. Rabbi, I just want to say, so there's one organization, Chayenu, they have a publication. Anyone who brings that publication to the house, I'm telling you, it's the only publication that's safe. Chayenu is trying to bring back the silent majority. They're not out to disparage anyone. They don't say any tanoos, nothing. All that they want to raise on the pedestal, people that live lives the way the Torah wants, without any hashpa from the wealth culture in the guise of Frumkeit. They don't want that. You won't find an ad there for Reb Chaim Konevsky's pen. They just won't. Because that has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. Every ad's kosher there. And the first step you could do is to purchase that publication. As far as I know, it's the only organization that's working to raise up an ideal austerity. The idea of restraint as a milah. You understand? The idea of not following the Jones or the Cones. The only organization that's doing that is Chayenu. Do they have all the solutions? No. Does it work for everyone? No. But at least they're doing something. So I don't know all the answers, but I do know we're facing a serious problem. And if we don't recognize it, does a land that you recognize a problem is the tchila of the solution. The solution is not to ask the meat boards. You're going to ask the meat boards, something else is going to pop up. It's like whack-a-mole. But so there needs a lot of thought here. How do we shift the values of our... Right, Baruch Hashem, you have to realize, our community is beautiful. I think for the most part, we're fine. I'm talking about a trend that's starting. And don't think it's not going to turn into a Frankenstein. And we have to stand up and do something. I'm just saying, it's not simple solutions. We wrote some Zemishim Shemayim. Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, had a rebirth against Haskalah, had a rebirth against college. Baruch Hashem, we've I'm not saying it was coolest success against the digital revolution. But Baruch Hashem, for the most part, you know, most people don't have social media on their phones. Why do we have to let it become a problem? And it all starts with our ability that when that meat board comes, you say, no, it's foul. You know why it's foul? Because that meat board by the vart is hurting people. It's a roidif. That's how I see it. When people have extravagance and you push the envelope, you're being roidif the rest of the class. Just like Mitzvah Chanan didn't want the tchelis. Because it's hurting people financially. It's hurting them financially, mental health. It's hurting their frumkeit, moisturous. And most important, it's Dvash and Bazar. Because Ben Torah, he can't have this, he's Nishchashiv. So then the Ben Torah have to be wealthy. It's a circle that keeps on going. Yirotzayin, Netzach Yisola, Yishaka, Mitzvah Shem will survive this. And we should all be Zeuchah to be a Mashiach.